What is up, everybody? It is Thursday night. Thursday night means one thing here at Jackson Kayak. You are watching Jackson Kayak Doc Talk, a new panel, a new week. Let's kick this thing off. What is up, everybody? I'm sorry. I'm trying to share your guys' episode with all the people that care about you so deeply. But anyway, we have got a new panel of guests tonight. This is the ladies' night. Sorry to all those that were hoping for Scylla to be here as well. Unfortunately, she's a little bit under the weather tonight, so she was unable to join us. Little strep throat caught up with her, so... Let's introduce our new panel tonight. We're going to start with our brand noob. Let's introduce Miss Edie. Whoa. Hi, Edie. So hey. You guys, as you're talking, you'll be in the big screen. Rules of engagement for Doc Talk, as you both well are aware, feel free to ask each other questions. We'll have the audience. So to you guys out in the audience, be prepared for your questions. These ladies are raring to go to answer all the deep and trivial questions that you guys may have out there in Jackson land or just kayak fishing in general. So don't be scared. Jump in, ask the questions, and let's do this thing. So Edie, welcome to Doc Talk, first time offender. The way we do Doc Talk is we're going to start off with you. Tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, kind of what you're fishing in. Just kind of fill us in.
All right. Well, I'm Edie Wilkinson. I grew up in northern Michigan. I currently reside in Middlebury, Indiana, which is right close to the Michigan-Indiana line. I fish out of the Bite FD, and I picked up a brand new one just yesterday, actually. So I'm excited to get that rigged and ready to go. That's about it.
And you got the Playa, so welcome to the Playas Club. It's a beautiful color. I'm a fan, personally. Personally, big fan.
I got accessories for it, too. So.
Oh, you got it. Hey, you got accessorized. I'm the world's worst about accessories and colors matching. I even got the pedals and the seat straps matching.
I got the orange pedals, though.
So. You want orange belt. There ain't nothing wrong with the orange belts. You just need to do the orange seat straps now. You set a little bit of pop in there for it.
That's a good idea.
It'll make it look good. Vicky! Welcome back, Vicky. Again, tell us where you're from, what kind of kayak you're fishing in, and all that fun jazz.
Hey, guys. Down in Texas. Doing tons of fishing out of the Coosa FD. Loving it. Trying out some more tournaments this year. See how that goes.
Fantastic. Sorry. I apologize. I'm not together tonight, apparently. What's up, Dale? Man, the kids are in the house tonight. You're in the house tonight, and you're talking to us live from the YouTubes. Let's help the crew at home get to know you guys a little bit better, and we'll throw Edie back to the wolf's den here and put her back in the big screen, maybe, if my mouse decides to work. There we go. So let's talk about how you got started into kayak fishing. Like, what kind of brought you here? How did you find the outdoors, and how did you fall in love with it?
Okay, well, I started fishing about 5 years ago now, and I actually started in a bass boat, and I sort of happened into it. It was a friend of mine from work that needed a partner for a tournament that he was fishing, and because his partner couldn't make it or whatever, anyway, so I subbed, and we ended up winning that tournament, which got me hooked on the whole tournament fishing thing. And when I found out that people were fishing out of kayaks and I tried that, that was it for me. I mean, I was able to go wherever I wanted by myself, and yeah, start figuring things out on my own. And I was hooked. And it's allowed me to travel the country, you know, fishing different tournaments and stuff. This year I'm sticking a little closer to home. So, but yeah, I'm excited for it.
That's awesome. And you have like probably one of the, I'm going to go ahead and call it flows through Indiana from Michigan, but one of the better rivers in Indiana is in your backyard.
Yes. And it's my favorite place to fish. So.
It is. It is a one of a kind place. It's not super deep, but it's fun. It really is fun. Big pike, big smallmouth.
Yeah, it is. There's some places that you can find some deep holes and stuff, but yeah, it's pretty much any kind of fishing that you want to do, you can find somewhere on the St. Joe. Yep, Missy said St. Joe. Yep.
Oh yeah, it's rad. We went up there and did back in the day when River Bassin was around, we did a tournament up there on the St. Joe right there in Fluid and Fun's backyard. And yeah, I really remembered it. I made a mistake though in that event. I went to Goshen and fished what's the river in Goshen?
Little Elkhart.
Yeah. I fished it right behind the brewery. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Goshen Brewing Company. We fished right in their back door and later went there for drinks to drown out the day. But very cool place. If you're in that area, check it out. Mickey, so like how did kayak fishing find you? Like what brought you into the outdoors as a whole and got you really started down this path?
Yeah, so outdoors, I grew up that way. Fished with my grandparents, my dad, went hunting, fishing, all of it. So as an adult, I'd kind of missed out on it for a long time. And then probably about 5 years ago, I started bank fishing again. And then a guy paddled by me on a kayak and I was like, okay, yeah, I'm getting off the bank. Got a little kayak off Marketplace. And yeah, like Edie said, you can go out, figure out places. You can get way further back than you could even with a John boat. So yeah, after that, it was on.
It really makes a difference. And I think that's what's so great about kayak fishing is it is obtainable for such a large number of people in a wide range. I mean, you've got everything from everyday paddlers that just, you know, one, two fishing rods in, throw them in, and then they're off and going. And then you've got full-on kayak tournament rigs that are just decked to the nine with two fish finders and motors and live scopes and all kinds of fun stuff. So, I mean, it's really interesting space, and it's beautiful that you can really take it and make it your own.
Oh yeah. That's awesome.
So as you progress, you're going to start doing some tournaments this year. This is going to be really your second year sticking your foot in the door with the tournaments and kind of getting going. What are you looking forward to most as far as your tournament season and different things coming up?
First off, I would love to catch a fish during a tournament. So far this last month, man, it was rough. But yeah, I finally got a Garmin. So I'm going to try to start kind of figuring out the fish finder and, you know, a few little things. You know, I definitely haven't gone all out for the whole rig, but yeah, I'm going to start using the fish finder, kind of figure that out and really just get a really good feel for the tournaments, go to as many as possible and just really get into it this year.
I think that's going to be great. How about you, Edie? I know you've got, you had a busy schedule last year. What's the schedule looking like for you this year as far as what you're planning on doing?
Yeah, I'm planning on fishing a couple of the grubby surreys, and IKA, and those are going to be my two main focus for the season, I think, as far as lake chasing AOI. And then there's a couple others that I'm planning on doing. I plan on fishing the native No Limit up on St. Clair, which is about 3 hours from me. And I'll probably, because MKT and Grubby also have one on the same day, so I can kind of triple dip in that one. I'm looking forward to that. That should be, it's at a good time of the year up there, so that should be some fun. And then a couple others that I'm considering, but not for sure yet. But the main focus is going to be the Grubby and the IKA.
Very nice. Now, last year you did a lot more of the national style events, traveling around to various places throughout the country. Let's kind of talk a little bit about that because I think it's important to hear it from a woman's perspective as far as what's it like being on the road, doing all these things on your own and taking on something that you're passionate about.
Sorry, I lost my earphone.
That's fine.
Okay.
Repeat the question.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
So it was difficult sometimes. I'm not gonna lie. There was a lot of isolation, because you spend so much time by yourself as far as driving, camp on the water a lot of the time. But it was also it was so much fun. I mean, I got to fish so many new places, see new states, meet new people, and all of that. And it was scary. It was a lot of different things, but I would do it all over again. I kind of got my butt kicked, but it was but it was so much learning new things, and so much knowledge that I got from, just being around so many amazing anglers and some of the best in the sport, and forcing myself to learn new things by fishing new waters and, completely different areas and stuff. So it was definitely something that I'm grateful that I got to do it for sure.
Right. And you probably, as you've come home and fished local waters and different things, you've probably seen through self and just kind of like self-awareness, like, holy cow, I got better.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like things that I like lures that I never fished before, techniques or whatever that I never tried here before, I can now throw when I'm not able to get a bite, any other way. So I have new tools, new things that I can use. It, yeah, absolutely made me a better angler all around for sure.
That is very cool. So Vic, how about you? As far as being a woman in the sport, what are some of the things that you're seeing and like how is it trying to gain that knowledge and learn those different things?
It can be kind of 50-50. Like sometimes it's awesome, right? Like you meet all these cool new people, you make friends, you learn. One of the last tournaments, the guys were really awesome. I didn't catch a fish, and they were like, afterwards they were like, "What were you throwing? This is what we did." And we sat there and kind of went over what the difference was that I was throwing versus them. And definitely a great learning experience. But then I've been to a couple that, it was isolating. Slept at a sketchy boat ramp. And I mean, it is what it is. And then weren't very many friendly people at that tournament, but that's really been the only one. But other than that, it's been awesome. I've really learned a lot, and I didn't get to hit that many tournaments last year, so that's why my goal this year is to hit a lot more because I've got a ton to learn, and I'm ready to do it.
So when you think about women in the kayaking space, is there any particular ones that you look up to that maybe you pull inspiration from that, you know, you kind of feed off of to help channel your desire to keep pushing through?
Oh yeah. All the ladies at Jackson, like that Jackson kayak page, the fishing page. I love it. I love seeing all the ladies on there. I mean, they're out there getting it. Miss Jean, I see her post. I mean, and then outside of the team, I see Christine Fisher and mm-hmm. some of those ladies that are out there, and it's super cool. I love seeing people succeed, right? Like, and I'm like, ooh, one of these days.
You will get there, I guarantee it. How about you, E? Like, who do you kind of draw inspiration from that's out there as far as the lady anglers on the trails and just kayak fishing in general?
The person that really inspired me to get started was Christine Fisher. It was her YouTube videos that really got me started in fishing, honestly. Like, I happened across one of her videos, and she's been an inspiration. But there's so many, you know, ladies out there now that just, you know, that I've connected with and that are just out there doing it, you know, regardless of, you know, the obstacles or fears or whatever, they're just, you know, they're out there taking that step and doing it. And it's so inspirational to see that. And it's encouraging to see that, you know, because that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. So we got an audience question. I'm going to go ahead and throw this up from Catherine White. What are y'all doing to prepare for these new waters when you travel to different places?
Okay, I can go, I guess. I usually start with Google Earth. I spend a lot of time on Google Earth. There's a couple different apps too. Fishbrain is one that I've used. But then also I watch videos, I'll listen to podcasts, you know, of previous tournaments and things that have been on that body of water. And just like fishing reports, I'll look up fishing reports for the area, connect to like the fishing pages in that area and just things, different things like that. But Google Earth and mapping out is sort of like where I get my base plan from where I'm going to start.
Good answer. So, how about you, Vicky?
Basically the same thing. I Google on YouTube. I look for like lake breakdowns, past tournaments. And then I try to get out there if I can, you know, early enough that I can kind of check out the ramps on my own and then pre-fish, see what I can see, find good areas that even when I don't have the graphs, you know, just what feels good, what feels fishy, right? Like you just kind of instinctually like, all right, this is going to be a good spot. Hopefully nobody else is in it in the morning and go for it.
Very cool. Very cool. Now a new, let's see. Let's kind of move into this before Dale's got a question, but we're going to ignore Dale for a minute. So have you seen, as kayak fishing has grown and you guys have stepped into this, still fairly new and getting into things, how's the community, the ladies community been? I mean, do you find it very embracing? Let's kind of speak to that a little bit about the other lady anglers and the feedback that you've gotten and the community that's maybe around that other women might be interested in to kind of help them find a place in this as well.
They've been awesome. As a matter of fact, I saw Carol earlier. She was one of the first people to talk to me at a tournament and so welcoming. Over at the Women's Fishing Federation, everybody over there, always ready to share any advice. I mean, yeah, they've been so welcoming and awesome.
How about you? You've spent a lot of time out on the road. How's that community been and encouraged, been a way of encouragement for you?
It's been really amazing, honestly, and that's a part. That's an area where I struggle with too, because I am an introvert. So it's on my end too, is getting more involved and, you know, like different, like the Women's Fishing Federation and, you know, different things like that, that are out there, because I know they're available and there's, you know, a lot of women in the sport and there's so much support out there and stuff. And it's just up to us to really, you know, to take advantage of that. But I have also connected with so many other, you know, women anglers and stuff, and even out in tournaments and stuff, there's usually not a whole lot of us, but you know, it's always super supportive and positive. You know, when there's multiple female anglers or whatever, and it's, I've never had, you know, a bad experience, honestly. You know, as far as the female community goes, it's, I really haven't. It's just, you know, there's, you see things or whatever, but as far as my personal experience, I really haven't, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful, you know, for all the amazing women that are out there that have supported me and inspired me, because it's definitely, you know, kept me pushing through a lot of times when I felt like quitting. So yeah,
and that's huge. I mean, just that support group. I mean, even I think, you know, as guys, we have, you know, our small support groups that friends, neighbors, whatever you want to call them. And it's so important to have people like self, I think, out there on the road anytime we're doing those different things, just to kind of bounce ideas off of. Everybody gets homesick and everybody, you know, deals with different things being away that, you know, that sometimes they aren't pretty. Just the bottom line.
No, absolutely. You know, the evenings get long and
another audience question. Carol or Catherine is back in the questions. Any advice for new lady anglers who are wanting to pick up the sport? Any great resources that you guys would like to share?
Well, I know the Women's Fishing Federation is a really great resource. There's also, like, if you want to get started, Grubby is a good, like, place to, or I'm not sure where she's from, actually, but there's so many places out there to get started. You know, you can, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Yeah. There's a lot of places I think that you can get started, just in your local trails, really is the place to start reaching out. Every state's usually got some sort of a local thing. The best thing you can probably do is get on a website like tourneyx.com and go down through there, and you can click on the club tab and it will actually take you down through there, and you'll be able to see all the different states and kind of what they have to offer. Some of the bigger trails like Bassmaster, USA Bassin, and some of those, they'll all have like a tab that you click on, and then it'll take you to the different tournaments, maybe within the different states. But yeah, just peel through tourneyx.com if you're looking for like a tournament. And then also Facebook groups, I think, are a huge thing. Wouldn't you guys say?
Huge. Yep. Facebook groups.
I was going to say that, or even like check with your local tackle store. Sometimes, you know, a lot of them will have like a local trail. Yeah, just, you know, there's.
Yeah. And so what are some of the groups out there, Vicky, that maybe that you've attended that, you know, Catherine could look into, or anybody else that's maybe listening that would be interested in even maybe just kayak paddling?
I mean, honestly, I know several of the lakes here in Texas, they have local tournaments, like Lake Levan has tournaments every Tuesday night, or the KBF. I think they're on the app Fishing Chaos.
Yeah, Fishing Chaos for them.
And then, yeah, tons of Facebook groups like the Women's Fishing Federation. They're on Facebook as well. I mean, the Jackson Kayak Fishing page. You know, you can meet people mm-hmm. on there, and you're, you know, they'll tell you, hey, you know, I'm from Texas and I do these tournaments, or hey, I'm from Indiana and I do these. So, I mean, it's tons of information, and most everybody likes to share it. You know, they're like, yeah, come on, let's do this.
Yeah. And I think even if you're a lady that's out there just looking for a group of ladies to paddle with, fitness centers can actually be a good one. I know our local gym has a group of ladies that'll get together and paddle once a week in Canoe, Kentucky, or my paddle shop down in northern Kentucky, Frankfort, that I deal with. They have got a ladies paddling night. So they just get together as a group and a bunch of ladies and get out and take a trip down the Elkhorn River, the Kentucky River, and do the different things like that. So it's really cool. Like, you don't necessarily have to be interested in the fishing aspect of it. You can just find a group of ladies that want to get out and float the river. And, you know, local paddle shops are really, really good resources for that as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was about to say, Carol, they do a monthly event. And also when you said that, Chad, my Jackson dealer down here in Rolette, he does all kinds of, they paddle for nature. They do nature days. They do how-to days. They'll have you roll your kayak just so you know how to get back in it. Man, they do tons of stuff. And I think they do some fishing stuff too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons and tons of avenues. So we're going back up to another tournament question here. And this is from Dale. So hi, Dale, out there in the audience. He's kind of wondering, like, how do you guys have your tournament kayaks rigged out? Do you set them up any different to help with the weight and the different things like that? What are some of the things that you guys do adjust, and how do you set your boats up for you?
I go pretty minimal. Other than getting the graphs, the Garmin this year, I take maybe 2-3 fishing poles, some soft plastics, 2 things of hard baits, and just get out there and see what I can find. I don't take a whole lot. I just...
There ain't nothing wrong with that. It's better to keep it simple sometimes. Sometimes you can overcomplicate it pretty quick. I know I can. Now, on the other end of that spectrum, we have Edie, whose bite is usually pretty decked out.
Pretty loaded down. Yep. I have the XI3 that I have on the front. And I have a pole that I carry my crate in the back, the big batteries. Uh-huh. Back, so that sort of balances out the weight I feel with the motor in the front. Then I have my smaller 36 amp hour battery in the front as well. But yeah, tournament day, I try not to take more than 6 poles, but Missy knows that usually doesn't work so well, so I'll usually end up with about 10 poles probably on the boat.
That's a lot in the Bite FD.
Yeah, it is. It is. But yeah, and then I usually the soft plastic, so I keep to a minimum. I just have a small tackle bag I keep my soft plastics in. And then just whatever I can fit in the crate. So
Missy says 6 ? With a laughing and then
I knew she'd call me out on that. So
it's more like 16.
So Edie, did you say you have on your crate rod holders? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have six rod holders on my crate, and that's why I say I like to keep it to 6, but then I normally end up with like another 4 of them laying down beside me.
Oh, okay. So
yeah. You're going to have to get you some tri-track on that thing and do a little customization with the triple rod stager. I can feel it.
Yeah, I got to do some. I don't know if I can fit much more on it, though.
I think the most I've taken on the bite FDA personally is 8. I think 4 on each side. And I don't actually stand my rods up. I always, even if I'm in the bite FDA, they're always laying down. Just one of those things. I had a pretty sweet little system. So if you take a piece of like 3-inch PVC pipe and put one of the T-bolts through it and then put the T-nut on there, like leave you a little room, and you slide the rod tips in through that PVC back there in the back, where your rudder track it, like your black plastic for your rudder, you can slide those in there and it'll like hold all the tips together so they're not all over the place. And then take a bungee, put it on the bottom of your seat, and then have like a little carabiner tied to the other end, hook it on top of your seat, and your rods will stay locked nice and tight on your side. So you can carry 16 more now. You're welcome.
No, you shouldn't have told me that.
It's actually a pretty great little hack, especially if you don't like your excite. I tend to like grab hold of my power pole with my lure quite often, it seems. So yeah, I go with the laying down. Power pole's enough for me most of the time. Yeah, going under the bridges, that's usually fun. That's usually where the real fun starts, when you feel that power pole back there going like this. Yeah. That's a good time.
Yeah.
That is a good time. So minimal and pretty loaded down. And that is two great ways to put it too. Now, aside from, let's kind of break away. Do you guys ever just take your boats out and just float? Or is it strictly just like fishing? I mean, do you ever just use your boat as a vessel just to maybe just get away for an hour or two?
Well, I do. I've taken it a couple times, especially this past year. I started doing the first Friday of the month. Fluid Fun, my local Jackson dealer, does a float from their shop down to the next ramp. And I did that with them a few times with the bike. That was a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie, I usually had a pole with me, but I couldn't spend a lot of time because then I had to go catch up again. So
I hear you.
But no, there's times that, you know, I've taken it and just, but yeah, I don't know that I've ever really had it out without a pole on it, though.
That's not a bad thing.
Thinking about
That's
it. Not a bad
thing. If I was on the St. Joe, that close to the St. Joe, there would probably not be a time that I did not have a rod and reel, because I'm pretty sure you can just cast a hook out there and catch something fun on St. Joe.
Like I go to the St. Joe if I have a bad day somewhere else to make myself feel better, you know. It's just
100%.
That's my place.
There's that special little bend that's just up from a boat ramp. If you're going back upriver, it's on the right side. That's a pretty good little bend of water right there. Pretty impressive spot.
Yeah.
So how about you, Vic? Do you ever just take the kayak out, relax, and just kind of get away from it all?
I almost always have a fishing pole. My wife would love for me to just go paddle. But I did the dealer down in Rolette. I think I am going to go do some of their floats with them this summer. So we'll probably do that together. So I haven't yet. I almost always have a fishing pole. It's in the truck right now. Like if I go anywhere, there's a fishing pole. But I think probably this summer we'll do a few of those floats.
Carol says she takes the best naps on the water. Have you guys ever napped on the water?
On the boat, not in the kayak.
Not yet. Haven't gotten that break.
Yeah, you can, especially on a river, you could end up somewhere, you know, over the hill, over the dam.
Yeah. Well, that could be bad.
End up through 12 miles away from where I started. That would be
taking a nap with my headphones
for some reason. Fine.
Sorry.
You're fine. We can hear you. We hear you great. So let's see. What have we covered? Oh, back to my list. I had a list. Vic was nice enough that she kind of helped me pre-plan this week. And I can't thank her enough for that, actually, because my day has been a squirrel's day. So gear guide for ladies. Let's talk a little bit about some of the different gear that is out there for ladies that you guys have found very useful over the past couple of years?
Well, as far as like tackle, I honestly haven't really. Go ahead.
Oh, you muted yourself.
I muted myself. Oh. See, I'm like, it's just my day. Like PFDs, sun shirts, just the different things that, you know, maybe that are built for more for the ladies that you have found a niche item and it's just really great and helps you out.
Okay. Well, I wear For Her Outdoor Apparel. That's my favorite ladies outdoor apparel company. But as far as like, I guess gear and tackle wise, things like that, I've never really looked for like lady specific items. So I can't really speak for that, honestly, but there's things that you struggle with finding, as far as like apparel goes, and rain suits, you know, things like that.
Oh yeah.
You struggle sometimes finding something that'll fit good. I think there's definitely some opportunities out there, to improve that side of it. Yeah.
Very much so. I know NRS has the Chinook life jacket for a lot of the ladies out there. And that's been a very popular one, I think, over the past 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to look into that because I bought a new life vest recently. And it's more the traditional one, right? Like the NRS. Well, when I sat down, it came up. So I looked like a turtle. Mm-hmm. And it was impossible to cast. So I'm definitely going to have to look into a different one. I have been using the Onyx flat. It I'm definitely going to have to get that one back out because the other one, man, there's no way I could fish. I mean, it's, you know, my chin sitting on it. Maybe I could take a nap.
Forward facing nap.
Yeah.
FFN.
Yeah.
Forward facing naps.
I use the Mustang inflatable. I really like that one. It's light, it's not much to it, and it's I've never had an issue with it, honestly. Oh.
Nice. Yeah.
Good to know.
I'm definitely gonna switch that back out.
Let's see here, moving forward. Let's talk a little bit about self-care, the therapeutic aspects of fishing for women, the relaxation, mindfulness, and the health benefits that maybe go into what it's like for you guys out on the water.
That's my happy place. You know, it's when my kayak hits that water, when I'm on the water, it's like everything's okay again, it seems. You know, like no matter what's going on outside, work, life, whatever's going on, you know, when I'm on the water, it's like I can regain my composure and, you know, gain clarity, honestly, you know, and sort of get my wits back about me to face whatever is going on outside of that. But it's definitely, it was a lifesaver for me, honestly. Because I got started fishing. It was a few years after my husband passed away, and it got me excited about life again. So it's been huge.
That's very awesome. How about you, Vicky?
It is the happy place. I'm a nurse full time. So when that gets crazy stressful, you know, 2020, things were pretty nuts. If I could just get out on the water for a couple of days or a day, kind of reset, it is definitely a reset for me. Get right back. Definitely good for a mental getaway.
I think it does something for us all. I mean, even if you're just out for a few hours, there's just something that, you know, that time on the water, you come back and you're a little more relaxed, whether you've been fishing or whatever. There's just something about
it's the hard water to be anxious just, or, you know, frustrated when you're out on the water. It's just, yeah.
It just grounds you in such a way, I think, that's very, very awesome. I mean, it's just hard to explain. If you're not a water person, I feel sorry for you. That's just all we can say. You should be on the water or find something else that, you know, makes you happy out there. I think there's lots of things. Dale says his wife is a nurse and she kicks him out to fish for her sanity. I can second that, Dale. Winter's coming to a close and there's some arguments that have transpired. I will say that I know that, hey, it's probably time for me to go find some place to fish. But she also goes with me. My wife is more of a book reader while we're out on the water. She floats, she power poles down, catches some sun, and reads a good book most of the time while I'm out there fishing around until she says, hey, do you want to go over here? And then I go where she goes and fish. So it's a good way for me to find different spots because a lot of times she'll want to go look at something that's in a different area completely. Let's see. It's good for families. When you come back relaxed, everyone is better for sure. No doubt there at all. Keeps people from killing other people or harming other people. Let's use those words. That's better for the podcast. So we kind of talked about what you guys have got going on for this year. What are some of the paddling goals or kayak fishing goals that maybe you guys have set for yourselves within the sport?
I would like to do more tournaments. I would like to do more nationwide tournaments. I would love to see the different areas, right? The different waters and get a chance to fish them. Like I haven't done a lot of river fishing ever. So I just think that would be awesome. You know, I see the YouTube videos, everybody's out and yeah, I just want to get out there and try it and see all the different areas and maybe get a little bit better at it and see where it goes.
That's good to know. Good to hear.
Well, one of my main goal for this year is to catch a limit in every tournament I fish. but I know that's a big goal for me, but I know it can be done. So that's my biggest one. But other than that, it is just to just have fun with it, really. You know, to just go out and have fun during the tournament. And also, you know, get to learn some of my local waters better because I tend to stick to what I know here, you know, locally, my favorite spots. Yeah. And I just tend to go to those a lot. So that's another one of my goals this year is to learn some other spots around here. So
that's quality. That's a quality thing. So questions for each other. What do you guys got for each other? Anything that you want to spin off Edie Vicky or Edie off Vicky?
Edie, tell me about that trailer. All right. I've been seeing pictures. That thing is awesome.
So
pull that up.
that trailer was my lifesaver last year when I was traveling the country. Like I camped in the back of it. I keep everything in it. It was a local trailer dealer here in Middlebury, B&M Motorsport, had the trailer built for me. And then my employer, Grand Design RV, and a local graphics company, Burlington Graphics, went in together to do the wrap on it. It's been amazing. It's definitely helped me out, made things easier for me. I've gotten a little spoiled with it. So.
Yeah, that thing's awesome. I see the pictures and I'm like, man, that's cool.
My favorite thing is just being able to have everything in one spot all the time. Like, and I don't have to like completely tear the kayak down. I can leave it rigged up and just roll it out of the trailer. That's, you don't have the road grind from it. Yeah.
It's probably I can see where that would be a lifesaver. It's a very cool trailer. And let's do this here. I'm going to open this up in a new tab because it just works better. New window. Move tab to new window. Boom. Okay. So I'll present the screen. So you can show off. We're going to show off your trailer. Share screen. Window. Boom. So there it is.
Oh, there it is at one of the campsites.
Yep, one of the campsites. So do you sleep in this as well? I mean, when you're on the road?
Yes, either in that, if I feel comfortable having the kayak out sitting outside the trailer, like if I'm just sleeping at a boat ramp or something, I will normally sleep in the back of my truck or push the kayak to the side and sleep alongside it. But it can smell like, slime and water sometimes still. But like if I'm set up at a campsite for, 3 or 4 days or whatever, I will have the kayak setting outside along and set the inside up to sleep in. So, yeah.
Good to know. No, it's a beautiful trailer and congratulations on that. It's very awesome. So let's talk about the social media side of fishing. As ladies, what's it like trying to drum up the social medias out there? I mean, you guys both keep everything very clean, very top-notch, very passionate about the fishing and what you're doing. Let's talk about some of that and some of the different things that you do to kind of keep it growing.
Okay. It's especially during the winters here, it's a little bit of a struggle sometimes to keep the content going.
You're too far north.
Yeah,
it's below Bloomington. You have to get down here below Bloomington. That's where it's nice.
Yeah, and I'm not that big into ice fishing. So, like this year, we had very, very little. There was like a few days worth of ice fishing in the area. So, but no, it's just, I keep it real. Like I post my bad days along with my good days. And just that's, I found that has more people seem to connect with that, because it's not all just sunshine and rainbows. And so I try to keep, hey, this is the reality of it. and I'm still passionate about it, even with that, but I just try to show both sides.
Good. Go to Vicky here.
Yeah, same thing. I did flip my kayak a couple weeks ago, and I was going to put a video up, but I couldn't save it. My camera was busted. But I think just being real, I haven't been doing so great this last month. Just put it out there, and people, they do identify with that because, it's not always rainbows and butterflies. There are bad days. But then, I went out 2 days ago and, man, caught some awesome fish, posted those up, and people are like, yay, finally you got the skunk off, so they kind of feel that with you, like, yes. Mm-hmm. But, it's been kind of slow for me, but I think that's kind of how it goes with YouTube sometimes. Like, it just takes time to really build up that audience.
Yeah, that consistency and that time can be a big factor. And like, how much time would you say that you put into that aspect of it?
So I've been on YouTube for a year, a good solid year. I was trying to post like twice a week, definitely through the winter. I wasn't able to really keep up with it that much, between work and other stuff, but I think that's another one of my big goals is to really, really put the effort back into it and see if I can get it moving over the next year.
I think you will. That consistency is going to pay off. It will over time. So Edie, like how much time do you devote on a weekly basis to your social avenues?
It varies. I have not gotten into the YouTube side of it yet. Because the whole video aspect of it and the editing just honestly scares the snot out of me. I have the GoPro, I have the setup to do it, and that's actually, now that I'm talking about it, that's another one of my goals is to do better on the video side of it and start, sharing, more of through YouTube and things like that. So, but as far as social media, some weeks it can be a couple hours a day, some weeks not as much. It sort of, depends on what's going on or whatever. If I'm trying to push something, or something like that, I'll spend more time on it. But yeah, I'd say probably on average a few hours a day at least.
Very good, very good. Now, let's see. Question for Vicky. Are you fishing the Bass Nation at Cato?
I will be there end of the month.
End of
So
the month.
I'm excited. I've never been out there, and I've just been watching the breakdown videos, and it looks like it's really going to be a cool lake to be on.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people excited about it. I know Lance and some of the other team members were pretty excited about that event coming in the back door there.
Yeah, that's
It's
going to be
gonna
awesome.
be a fire event. Give me an estimate. What's it gonna take to win since you've been doing the research?
It's going to
100
take
a
a while.
day?
Probably. I mean, honestly, especially if Philip's out there.
Ain't putting money on Lance.
Hey, man, Lance has been in it too. He has been killing it.
We got to dog him a little bit. We got to dog him a little bit. No, that's great. Let's see here. Flipping through the comments and questions, making sure I don't miss anything. That's the hardest part because, like, once you start talking in these little group chats, it's like, and people are firing off questions, it's like they come in spurts, so you miss them. Yeah. So as we're about to the hour mark here, and I don't want to keep you guys too long. I know you guys have both got stuff to do and different things going. So what I like to do is let you guys really thank the sponsorship people that you need to thank and tell people where they can connect with you on social media.
So Jackson is my biggest team that I'm on. Kistler, and the Anglers Pro out here. Those are my sponsors, affiliations. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. It's all the Adventures of General Hooligan. Would love to see you on there. And leave me a comment. Let me know what else I can do to make the videos better or the content for sure. Oh.
Okay. Okay. So I would like to thank Fluid Fun. They're my biggest sponsor. They're the local Jackson dealer. Of course, Jackson Kayak. I love being part of the team. Tackle Shack is also one that I want to mention. And then, yeah, you can find me Instagram. It's Bass Queen 83, and then Facebook is Bass Queen Fishing or Edie Wilkinson. That's where you can find me. I can't hear.
Oh, Chad, you're muted.
I'm gonna let you host the next time,
There
Vicky. I'm
you go.
on the struggle bus tonight. So, thank you both for being on the show tonight. It's a pleasure having you. And I'm looking forward to the next one. Edie, I hope you'll come back and hang out with us on the Dock Talk again. Yeah,
Thanks for having me.
it's all fun. And the ladies in the comments are loving ladies' night. I'm an honorary lady tonight. The bearded lady. How's that?
There you
The bearded lady. But no, thank you guys for stopping by. And as always, to pay those bills real quick, we'd like to thank Jackson Kayak. Check out all of our different kayaks over at jacksonkayak.com. Head out to one of our local dealers and pick one up today. Also, thanks to Orion Coolers, because this podcast would not be possible without the help of Orion Coolers. If you guys are in the market for a fancy smancy Orion cooler, head over to Jackson Kayak, use Orion Rocks at checkout, save yourself a little bit of money. And that's all caps. You can see it down there on the scroller ticker if you're watching it on the stream. If you were watching it on listening on Spotify, then, you know, Orion Rocks, all caps. then obviously Z-Pro lithium batteries, keeping us powered all season long. Cast King, casted a mile with those rods. Absolutely love them. Evolve Fishing, enter code JKT15 to save yourself 15% with all the kids over there at Evolve Fishing. Some of the best rod talks I've ever had, ladies. I love them. Absolutely love them. Gosh, Clinch Fitness. If you need anything from Clinch Fitness, it's a great workout band company. They make some really cool stuff that you can travel with, keep your workouts fresh on the road. Use code Huntleet10, like athlete, but hunting at the start. Yeah, do that. Save yourself 10%, and you'll be glad you did. Some of the best ones around. Also, shout out to the folks over at usabassin.com, our trail partner for the Jackson Kayak Fishing Trail. It's all kicking off this month. Actually, the first tournament of the season kicks off with the boys down in Kentucky on the 16th at historic Dale Hollow Lake. We are looking forward to that one. It's going to be a great event. One of our dealers, Kayaks and More, is the host. So wishing everybody luck to fishes that. Hope to see everybody down at the championship on Kentucky Lake in October. See about getting all that out. Got to breathe. Got to remember to breathe. But yeah, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Check us out on Spotify for the Orion Podcast, Jackson Kayak Doc Talk, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Bye-bye.